Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. Stay tuned all the way through today. We are going to be talking about... That was a weak drum roll, by the way. Heaven. We're going to be talking about heaven. What a fun, lighthearted, not so lighthearted topic.
How is it not lighthearted?
You know, it is lighthearted. I guess... We should have sound effects and we can have that...
You better watch it because, you know, with the last week's podcast, Aaron works some magic. Have you seen it yet?
Wait...
You got to look at it.
Oh, was it on the front end? The
with
editing?
With your eyes.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Uh oh.
So you got to.
Even the image.
I saw the image.
You saw the image. I look like I'm getting baptized by you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, the thumbnail. I look like I'm awesome. Getting baptized by you.
Well, speaking of past podcasts, today you'll see we have some coasters in here.
Coasters.
Shout out to my friend John who came up to me. Now, he's been watching, and so he's been watching the saga of the spills.
The saga of the spills.
The saga of the spills to cups to someone said I had a baby bottle or a
sippy cup.
And so now we got some things. And these ones are awesome because they have some verses in them.
Yeah.
What are those ones, Pastor Dan?
I've got one of my favorites that I proclaim over my life every day, Joshua 1:9. I start with 1:8. But I love Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. I got that one. And then this is a good one. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. For those of you who want to know the will of God for your life, this is part of it. And all things give thanks. That's a really good one. So under my cup.
Yeah, the one you're.
I love this. Psalm 12:3.
Yeah.
He restores my soul.
Yeah.
Can we get a.
A Bible check?
A Bible check. Yeah, I thought that was Psalm 23. Is it both?
Maybe.
Psalms 12.
David
3.
Maybe.
I know the word says stuff multiple times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we can.
I have James 4:6. I figured this. I thought this was a good one for me. He shows favor to the humble. And so I'm humble enough to use a coaster for
he
my
He shows
spills.
Favor. That, it was favor that you got the coasters.
That's right. It was favor that I got
John,
the coasters. So, yeah, shout out.
You the man.
So, he's our sponsor for the day.
Thank you, John.
Our
this
first sponsor.
Podcast brought to you, by our sponsor, John.
Well, and one of the comments this week was, I just came for the tea, right? Because remember we were from the story. And I did talk to your brother, Jason, and I was like, hey, man, we're going
to. You talked to him?
We talked about. I was like, we talked about it in the podcast this week. He's like, dude, I have.
He has no recollection.
Nothing.
Does not remember that period of his life.
I would choose to forget that one, too, right? Because you guys are still boys.
Yeah. No, and we love each other. And he's happily married. I'm happily married. In fact, his son just had a birthday. Yeah. My son just had a birthday. So, yeah.
Man, adults.
Past
all
couple
these
days,
grown men.
I've got an adult. He's got almost. He has one adult and one on his way. So
the next generation of Rock. Men are now adults.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yep.
What an amazing thing.
It is amazing. So
today we talked about heaven, but we are still in this series and it's going to spin off. We're going to go on a kind of a little tangent of a conversation that I think is really fun, but it's not so much of a tangent because it does relate to what we've been talking about.
It relates because we talked about how we died to sin, mm-hmm. how we were buried with him through baptism, right?
Yeah.
And that old life is over and done with. But then we talked about how we're raised again to new life,
mm-hmm.
and how now we have the hope of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a hope.
There is a hope, yeah. And I don't know that I said it in all the messages, but one of them, I remember talking about how people are getting buried in their Cadillacs and with trailers, and even you can't take your gold teeth with you to heaven because, you know.
Was that part of like a story or a joke where you're like, hey, why are you walking around? Hey, why you got asphalt in your teeth?
Streets of gold, yeah. No, that was actually just a joke. That was on the fly. I had never thought about that before. It flew out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So that's one of those fun things about preaching is that sometimes you... Catch
like,
something.
Which service did I say that in, right?
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I think it was first. It was first.
Was it first?
Yeah, it was first service.
First service. All right. Shout out to first service people, but sorry, second service. didn't
go
get
to
the
all
joke.
Three if you want all the jokes.
Hey, if you want the jokes. There's been times where some people who have sat through all three have come to me and said, Pastor, every single one was so different.
Yeah.
Then there's other times that people are like, you're like a sewing machine, man. Just,
right.
You know.
No, that's true. I've noticed that because I've sat in all three several times. And I know that sometimes it's like, you know, you're going right through and you get the same things. But obviously, you know, the people in each congregation are different. So as a preacher, as a communicator, it's not like you're just... You're not on a script. You are ministering to them as well. And so
what's been fun is Saturdays lately have kind of been a little extra because I know that we're not.
That's right. Recording.
We're not online on Saturdays now.
Unedited version.
They're getting the unfiltered
Yeah, that is true. I've heard a couple of either jokes and stories and extra comments.
Extra comments, yes.
Yeah.
Things that I would say to my congregation that I don't want said to everybody out there in the world, you know.
No, that's good. That's fun. Hey, so Saturday, 10 a.m.
If you want the juice, you
got
to come.
I know soccer season is going to be starting soon, sports seasons. So maybe you got games on Sunday, Saturday.
Saturday's a great option. Great option, yeah. So, intimate.
And then also, wonderful just people. Another plug for families getting their children acclimated. You know, sometimes the number of children as you learn to let your baby go to, hey, come on Saturday, there's less children, and so they can...
More attention for your child, yeah.
And so if that's something you've been concerned about, I don't go out checking in your kids. I know that in new generations, that's kind of been one of the apprehensions. Yeah. So
I think the negative, there's been some negative about that. You know, for a while there was the helicopter parents that just hover over their children.
Yeah.
And then now there's something that they're calling gentle parenting.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I, you know, if you were a gentle parent, I would encourage you to firmly discipline, you know, and you know, kindness and gentleness is a fruit of the spirit, but where, you know, I think that sometimes this parenting style lacks is in the sense of that there's structure and discipline. Yeah. Structure is so good for kids.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll speak to this and know that my heart is that I feel for people who have children with special needs and people who have challenges with their children. And there's a rise of that, you know, and one of the things that I've seen is that structure helps in those areas, you know, consistency helps. And those are things that can really, really be a good thing. And so for the parents out there, hey, I know you're doing your best. We did our best, you know, and like you said, we've got adults now and they're doing okay. And we went through some challenges too, but you know, the structure, consistency, discipline, all those things are very healthy things. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to parent.
No, we love it. And so we love you guys. We want you to come, and that's the several opportunities there are to get involved here at church.
And we'll take questions too if you put them in the comment section. Oh, I'd love to do a parenting podcast. That would sometime. Be great. That'd be kind of fun. If this sparks something in you, or if you're you know, just offended and mad at me right now for even saying anything.
Well, no, I know, like, for example, I can hear some of the feedback because I've heard the criticisms against what we know as gentle parenting versus what maybe true gentle parenting is.
Sure.
Is because I think the influx of, like, you know, there's like, well, no, a true gentle parent still disciplines and still does some of these. And I think some of that is, but
it's a new term to me, so I don't understand.
No, unfair to the maybe true gentle parents. The stigma of gentle parenting is they get to do whatever they want.
Gotcha.
But that does happen, and we do see it. And so I know those are the things we want to encourage, and we all just are trying to do our best, like you said, as parents. And I know it's my son's 15th birthday today. He turns 15
today.
To my youngest, we're different parents.
Oh, of
10
course.
Years later, you know, like, there's a 10-year
age
gap.
And the oldest always has this thing, like, why did you let them get away with murder? I never got away with that.
Yeah. So anyways, Pastor Dan, Heaven. Speaking of, like, oh my god.
Yeah, we're talking about heaven. That was a long way.
Yeah, that's a long way around, but it was great.
We made it.
I this was the topic it came to mind because I think there are some great conversations about it, but there are a lot of questions. And so I think one of the ways that we, you know, again, we learned about it, we as believers, you know, heaven is in front of us, but we also know we all have a life to live. I mean, we've even talked about in ministering, if it was just about going to heaven, then right after you got saved, you would just get beamed up, right? Like, all right, beam me up. I'm done. Take me to heaven now. Mm-hmm. But there is a sense of this life that we live now. But, and I think sometimes social media changes a different picture, but there are true conversations taking place of what's the amount of weight or attention that we should now focus on our lives as believers headed for heaven,
right?
Denying our place in hell. What value do we need to attribute to heaven, or how much thought process? You know, I was like, oh my gosh, I just can't wait to go to heaven. I just can't wait to go to heaven. Or, I don't know, am I making sense?
Yeah, you know, the Bible speaks to that. I think that the Apostle Paul talking about, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yeah.
That's a great perspective that I think all of us need to have. There's been a lot said about this over the years, and I've got a flurry of different quotes and thoughts and different scenarios that are flowing through my head while you're asking this question. Because, you know, there have been the overemphasis to where, you know, people that are considering heaven and especially, you know, when you start getting into end times theology. You know, I know people who in the 60s, because there was such a heavy emphasis on Christ's return, and they were saying, hey, you know, we're seeing the civil unrest. We're seeing, you know, boundary lines and mile markers moved and things like that. Jesus has to be coming back, you know, and they're calling this person the Antichrist and that person the Antichrist. And we're seeing these throngs of war. And, you know, at the time, communism was like the big thing that they were fighting against, you know, because they'd seen, you know, fascism and Nazism, and they'd seen, you know, these were all children of World War II. Parents, right? The great generation that came out, and then the boomers are coming, and now you've got the sexual revolution, you've got the civil rights movement. I mean, tumultuous times on the earth. The Vietnam War. Things are dragging on, and there's things going on, and you know, they're seeing all this, and in the midst of that, a revival's breaking out. You know, you had the Jesus movement, you had you know, Chuck Smith baptizing people in the oceans, like we're seeing now again with Baptized California, and some of these things that that are rising up again, and it's phenomenal, you know. So there's some fantastic things that were going on in different parts of the nation, different revivals breaking out and things going on. And so in the midst of all this, people are saying, hey, we're saved, we're going to have Jesus coming back any moment. And so they would never thought about things like retirement, because they figured Jesus was coming back before they would need retirement. So they never paid into retirement, and now they're going, what are we going to do, you know, because there ain't nothing there. They didn't invest. They didn't take their time. And so the reason why I say that is because there's a great phrase, and I hope I don't mess it up when I say it, but it says to live like Jesus is coming back today and a plan like he's not coming back in our lifetime.
All right.
So, and I think that, when we talk about our focus on heaven, we need to live like we're going to heaven. With that anticipation and that excitement. And the reason why we live that way is because Jesus is there, right? I think some people might say, oh, I just want to get away from this evil world. And that can be escapism. Like, you know, you see it in the Bible with Elijah. It's enough, Lord. Just kill me now. And I think that's a thought that many people have. Like, I can't bear the circumstances around me. So just let me just end it all and go to heaven, right? God, can you just kill me now? And that way it'll be done. It's over with. I just want to go to heaven. Why? Because they want to escape the earth. And the hell that's breaking loose against them here. I don't think that's the right perspective of heaven, right? Heaven is our aim and our goal, because we're looking unto Jesus, right? We're running our race with endurance, knowing that at the finish line, there's open arms, right? Second Peter, where it talks about we'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. Well, who's going to welcome us? Obviously, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. But my goodness, the one that I'm looking for when I get there is the Lamb, right? In the midst of the throne. And that's my aim. That's my goal. I want to go and just fall down before him, you know?
Of course. And you want to be in his presence.
And so that's the aim and the goal of every believer. And so we ought to live like that day is today. Like, I'm going to heaven. But we ought to plan like, you know, it's going to be a long life.
Well, so then how big of a part should heaven be in our evangelism, in our sharing of the gospel? I shared with you before we started the recording that, you know, to some people, if now we are seeing in new evangelism, people who are coming unchurched. So they, you know, they weren't told the stories of heaven. And so, like, heaven, it just seems like this, you know, ethereal place, but, you know, like, that doesn't sell me per se. Like, in other words, when we spread the gospel and we're saying the good news, oh man, you got to follow Jesus, 'cause then you're going to get to heaven. It's like, does that mean? So, is there a value? What's the importance of having someone understand heaven versus like, hey, I just want to follow Jesus? In other words, should heaven be the selling piece? Like, oh, I better follow Jesus so I don't get into hell and go to heaven, or is the life of following Jesus on earth enough?
You know, I think that the book of Acts especially gives us a classic study in evangelism as well as apologetics. And I think a big part of that is knowing your audience. And you see the Apostle Paul, when he was with the Jews, he would go to the scriptures. He would go to things that they understood and knew. And he would, you know, build on the law, and that we can't accomplish that, that we need Jesus to take care of our sin. But when Paul went to the Acropolis in Greece, right? Here he is. And the greatest thinkers of that day were sitting around just talking philosophy. And he talks to them about what you know in worship that you don't know, I want to declare to you. And he has them all leaning in, and he starts to talk to them, not about the scriptures. He talks to them about creation. And he starts to go through the fact that we're groping around trying to figure out our way, and yet God isn't far from us, that he's near to us. And in him, we live and move and breathe and have our being, you know? And these are things, again, that their minds would relate with. And so, yeah, if you are talking to somebody and you're saying, like, I want you to be saved because I don't want you to hell, I mean, that's a great motivator for us to witness to people is that, hey, I love you, and I don't want to see you go to hell. I want you to be in heaven forever. But if they have no context of what that means, they don't understand heaven, they don't understand hell, there's been no training, no understanding of that, then I wouldn't talk to them about that. I'd talk to them about their purpose and why are we here? And what is the aim of our lives? And what is the goal? And if there's a creation, there must be a creator. And if there's a creator, there must be a purpose. And if there's a purpose, wouldn't he reveal that to us?
Yeah.
And if it's revealed, how would he reveal it? He'd have to be like us. He'd have to become one of us. And that's where Jesus comes in, right? And Jesus showed us the love of God, and God loves you and wants to be with you.
Yeah.
The discussion of heaven will come later. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah, I want to be with this God that created everything. If he loves me that much, then I'll love him. I'll learn about him. And then when they start to learn about him, they give their heart and life to the Lord. Okay, hey, let's talk about it. You gave your heart to the Lord. Now you're going to go to heaven. What's that? Well, that's where God lives. That's
so
where
it becomes
God dwells.
An added bonus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it becomes a motivator to the believer's life, right? Yeah. Now, if you've got somebody that's been in church their whole life and they know, and yet they're choosing a lifestyle that is contrary to the ways of God, and you say, hey, I love you enough to tell you the truth, if you continue down that path, then you're headed for hell. They're going to understand what you mean by that, you know? My dad, as a matter of fact, was raised a good Lutheran boy. You know, we got pictures of him in the gowns and the get-ups and all that kind of stuff, First Communion and all that kind of stuff. And I remember him telling me, he said that when he heard the doctrine, if you will, of the rapture and the end times and the return of the Lord and, you know, all the things that were going to come on the earth and then heaven for the believer and hell for the unbeliever, he said it scared him so bad that he gave his heart to the Lord.
Right.
But he had the context of the Lutheran church growing up.
Yeah.
He had the context of the scriptures growing up. So it would be more like the Apostle Paul ministering to the Jews than ministering to the Greeks, you know, and so we can see that. And I think that's where we have to be wise in our witnessing and in our evangelism, if you will, that helps whoever the audience is, the listeners, you know. When I do an altar call at The Rock, I have a pretty standard altar call. In fact, you could probably write it down and read it week to week. It's pretty standard. It covers a lot of bases. And I trust the Spirit of God that as I'm casting a wide net, that God's going to fill it with fish. There may be people that have no church context and people that have all the church context in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there may be believers, unbelievers, uninformed and informed. You know, so we see all that coming to the altars. There's people up there that they're just there because I felt something today that I've never felt before. Right. It wasn't words. It wasn't.
They know how to describe it. There's no, there's no church.
There was no overcoming objections. They had no objections. They just felt something, and they felt like it was right to raise their hand and walk the aisle and pray that prayer, you know? And so what we do is we sort that out in the back, you know? Like we take them with our faithful friends and we get them to a place where they have a one-on-one conversation, and they say, what brought you to the altar today? And some of them will say, man, I was raised in church and I fell away from God. I was walking in sin. I don't want to die and go to hell.
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus forever, you know? There's others that say, I've never been in church in my entire life. Someone invited me, and today, as the pastor was talking, I just felt something move me, and I just felt like I needed to do that.
Yeah.
And so we see that, and that's where, again, discipleship will be one-on-one and individual, you know? However, I'm casting a wide net that's pretty, you know, formal in the sense of I'm going to do the same thing every week. Sometimes I'll mix it up, you know. I know there are pastors that have four different altar calls that they go through. One's their testimony, one's like ours, one is for people who have no church context, and I forget what the fourth one is, but you know, they have these different ones that that they go through, but it all comes to the point of, hey, you need to respond and give your heart to the Lord.
Well, you know, I feel like you responded so simply to a maybe more complicated question, and that's on me. Maybe I overcomplicated the question, but as you explained, I was like, oh, okay, so I guess because there's not a wrong way. Maybe there's not a wrong way to how we approach
yeah.
the topic or understanding of heaven, because, hey, like if you you want to follow Jesus, and because I heard one person, oh, following Jesus is enough, right? Like, if there's heaven, awesome. I don't think they said if, but it's like, hey, a heaven, that's an awesome thing, but that's not what makes me follow Jesus.
Right.
I'm not following him for the benefit of that part. And I think maybe they're trying to sound a little bit more.
It's not a rewards-based yes. motivation.
Yes,
basically,
exactly. Right? And so,
which can be a pure motivation, mm-hmm. or it can also be a flex.
Yeah, right. I don't need heaven to follow Jesus. You guys are
all you unspiritual.
Some self-righteousness.
People.
Yeah. But I love that because it doesn't. It's not a right or wrong. You need to think like this. You need to think like that. If you're not waking up thinking with heaven on your mind, then something's wrong with you, or the other way around, right? It's just like, hey, let's follow Jesus. And then in terms of how we share Jesus, and I think that's the encouragement, because maybe you as a listener talk to people and you feel like, man, we should be talking about heaven more. We should. And some people, that's just not where they're at, but they follow Jesus. Like, hey, they're fine too. Or how do I share with someone with no church upbringing?
Yeah.
And maybe it's not a heavy-handed heaven-hell conversation. Maybe it is, mm-hmm. because there is, maybe even if they didn't grow up in church, they heard enough stories from mom or dad of, you need to get right. You know, because even that statement, you need to get right. I grew up in church all my life. I know exactly what that means. Right? Get right with Jesus right now. Like, oh, shoot. Like, but it's like, what? Get right with Jesus.
Yeah, get right.
And so that might not mean anything to some people. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the generation we're all learning to. And Paul was so brilliant as an apostle that he knew how to be all things to all men in all mm-hmm. these places that he went to. And so for us in our study of the word, in our following Jesus, in our relationship, our discipleship, really, I think it would be great to frame ourselves in learning who we're talking to, right? And how to adjust our conversation, because some people, it might just be like you were saying when he was talking to these philosophers, hey, know Jesus because he can help you in your circumstance now.
Sure. Yeah.
And the other one's like, hey man, you gotta get right. You're headed for hell the way you're going.
Yeah, and that really is based on the understanding of the individual. The unique thing about the Bible, and you know, I've studied the Bible now for 30 years being a Christian. Mm-hmm. And even more so being a pastor for the past 20 years, mm-hmm. going to Bible college but also studying for messages, things like that. And the amazing thing to me is that the Bible talks a lot about how we live here on the earth. It shows us just a glimpse. It's almost like we get a curtain that pulls back for a moment, and we get this picture of a vista that's far off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, God, why don't you give us more? Like, what specifically are we doing? I know we're going to worship Jesus for eternity. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
But in some senses, it's like, is that it?
Yeah.
You know, is there more purpose in heaven? So we'll be with him forever, you know. We get some glimpses in the parables. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been faithful over a little. I'll put you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I'll give you authority over 10 cities. You know, people have projected that means that there's going to be authority structures in heaven. There's going to be people that did well here on the earth, mm-hmm. and because of their stewardship on the earth of what their life was, that they'll be given responsibilities and stewardship of the people in mm-hmm. eternity. I don't know. You know, those are things that are fun to think about.
Yeah.
But the scripture's not explicit.
Yeah.
It doesn't spell it out. This is what this is literally saying.
Well, I kind of chuckled inside because I've thought about, you know, like, oh, heaven is just one long church service. Like, oh, church service that now is boring. I don't want to go to heaven and be bored forever. You know, like, but I can see if you're talking to someone, like, if we think like, oh, so a long church service, you know, because we see pictures, oh, we're going to be praising the name. You see that holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so maybe that's a portion and these are the pictures.
Yeah.
But essentially my soul longs to be with my Savior, right? So I want to be where he is and the place that I believe he's prepared for us.
Well, I think if we look at what we do know about heaven, it helps to give us a better picture in the sense of, number one, we know that we will be given a new body eventually.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? Yeah. So if we die now, we're going to be with the Lord forever. And the Bible does say in the resurrection that there's a bodily resurrection. And it says, we will not all die, but we will all be changed.
Yeah.
And so those that are alive on the earth, when the Lord returns, as we're caught up with him in the air, mm-hmm. somewhere along the way, we get a new body.
Yeah.
You know, and again, my theology, I don't understand all this right. stuff. Like, go yeah. ask Dr. Kobernick.
Yeah. yeah.
Ask Pastor Deborah. You know, like,
yeah.
they can tell you what they know and yeah. what they've learned. And, right. and you know, but for me, there's certain questions that I have that I just can't right. land because it doesn't say that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Even to the point where in Revelation it talks about the devil's tail, the serpent's tail, sweeping a third of the stars out of the sky, right? Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, there's two angels to every demon, mm. right? Well, okay.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, again, it doesn't say that explicitly.
Yeah.
We understand and numbers and things mean things,
yeah.
you know, and stars even mean things. The angels had stars and Jesus yeah. had stars in his hands, but he says right to the angel, which could be the angel or it yeah. could be the pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we talking about here? Right. You know, and so there's things that we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I can't land on those things. But what we do know is in heaven, we do know that we're going to have a resurrection body eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that heaven is going to come to earth. The New Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven mm-hmm. to the earth, and that we'll be with the Lord forever. So the new earth is going to be a redeemed place where there is yeah. no sin.
Yeah.
And I think this is significant about when we think about what we're going to experience in heaven, because if there's no sin nature, will we ever get bored?
Right. No, you're right. Yeah.
Maybe not, right?
yeah.
If there is no sin nature, then, you know, will we ever have conflict with others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably not, right? There's not going to be disagreements or things like that. You know, there's a brilliant book called The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, that book changed my thinking about heaven in many ways. Because he shows a picture, it's kind of a crazy concept, okay? He shows a picture of people that are in hell,
mm-hmm.
and they get on a bus, and that bus takes them to kind of this central place,
yeah.
kind of like the earth, and people from heaven come to that central place, and the people that get off the bus from hell have an opportunity to kind of cross over.
Right.
But the people from hell are so tainted that everything in that environment is like toxic to mm-hmm. them.
Right.
Raindrops are like bullets.
Right.
Blades of grass are like knives.
Mm-hmm.
And everything good and lovely to them is disdained.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas the expressions that come out of the redeemed
mm-hmm.
and the people that are renewed
yeah.
are so good and so pure and so holy that it's like, it almost seems like those people that you're like, are you fake? like here on the
yeah.
earth, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You meet somebody and they're like, oh my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, yeah,
and you're
yeah.
just like, that's fake. Yeah. You can't be that happy. But it changed my perspective on heaven because I thought, you know, without a sin nature,
mm-hmm.
what will we be
wow.
like?
That's yeah.
And it's not fake.
Right.
It's really who we are. You know, right. I met certain people, you know, Tony Cook and John Bevere.
Right.
These guys are genuinely yeah. the nicest people on the planet.
Well, that's true because that's our distrust of people.
Right.
That we would think someone has to be. Like, you can't really
you
be
You can't
that
really
happy.
Be that nice.
You can't really just yeah. trust me. You can't really just like me because we don't just like people.
Right? Oh,
like,
I know.
Like, because we have our own preconceived notions and our disappointments yeah. and letdowns. And
well, even to wow. the point where, like, I gave, you know, I just mentioned two guys, you know, I give them a ride or, yeah. I, you know, help them out with something or send yeah. them an email. And they, like, over the top thank me.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what do you want?
Well, and it seems like that. But now that right. I know their character.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And now that I know who they are. And now that I know that, I mean, you look at the redemptive power of God in someone's life. They really are that thankful, and they really do honor mm-hmm. people like
yeah.
that. And so that's where I think in heaven, when we look at what heaven's going to be like without sin,
mm-hmm.
without sorrow,
yeah.
God's wiping away every tear from our eyes. I mean, when you take a look at these things, it's almost like, wow, okay, look at what that expression is going to be like. So worship will even change because right now worship
yeah.
can be tainted
mm-hmm.
by our sin nature in right. our preferences,
yeah.
in our prejudices.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oh, I don't like that style of music, yeah. right? That's a prejudice against the style.
Yeah.
And you know, our preferences. Oh, I like it loud. Yeah. I like it quiet.
Right.
I like it pumping. You
I
know?
Like hymns. I like electric guitar. Drums.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There can be so many things that are muddied in there. So, I mean, so yeah, if we're worshiping for 1,000 years and then mm-hmm. we're like, hey, another round, you know,
yeah.
like, it might be the most amazing thing,
yeah.
you know. Same thing with just, you know, we've talked about in heaven, we know that there's no marriage or given in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I don't think that we're not going to know people
mm-hmm.
because right. there's still, their spirit It carries on, mm-hmm. right? And if what we do now affects eternity, then we're not going to lose our personality or those unique things about us, even our history.
Right.
We'll know that we were redeemed. And hopefully, I hope that God sits us all down, gives us popcorn and Red Hots, and like plays the playback reel mm-hmm. of history from his perspective.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, what would that be like to see, that was you, God?
Yeah.
Or, man, that was the devil.
Right.
Yeah. Or dang, the flesh really got involved there, didn't it?
Well, you see the enemy coming in and how God swoops in at the last moment.
How many car accidents? How many disasters? Yeah. How many, I just don't feel good today. Right. I'm not going into work. And then an active shooter situation or whatever it is, you know? How much did God do? I mean, I would imagine I've got some squished angels. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because there was times where... I tell you.
You tell that story of the car accident or the where you're going off, right?
Yeah. Well, there was one time I was in San Timoteo Canyon.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I was driving around this curve and this large truck mm-hmm. just came barreling around the corner into my lane. Mm-hmm. I closed my eyes and said, "Oh God, here I come."
Yeah.
I mean, literally. And then next thing I know, I open my eyes and I'm still driving. The truck's gone. And I was just like, there must be a squished angel somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Those moments. That's true. There is that. Anticipation. So in kind of closing, Pastor, I thank you for taking the time to respond to that, because again, I know that there had just been, I'd been hearing a lot like, again, there's the rise in heaven talk. And some of it is maybe a topic for another day, which was some of the theology behind end time theology. Mm-hmm. People are really, there's podcasts about it and there's anticipation about it and there's the excitement. And then there's people like, well, okay, cool. You know, and almost like this back and forth banter, especially on social media. Why do you care so much? Well, you're overthinking it and this and that. And so what is the appropriate place of our hearts? And I believe you settled that a bit, you know, that we see scripture that our hearts should anticipate it.
I think
right. So to not give it any credence, I think is probably lacking some scriptural context.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, the escapism and minding ourselves on where our minds are always going, like, it's a great reward, but we are all still have a purpose on this earth. And if we're still breathing, it's because God has us here.
Yeah.
And so I would focus on that more than just how can I get out of here? Mm-hmm.
And I think to address those things, you know, I think that in one sense, we need to be hopeful. Mm-hmm. I think that hope is of God.
Yeah.
Right. And when you look at biblical hope, it's confident expectation of God's goodness. Mm-hmm. Heaven is a good place because God's there. He created it. He made it. He created it for us to be with him. Right. There's a space and a place for us, you know, and that new Jerusalem, when we talk about it coming down out of heaven to the earth, and so shall he always be with his people. Oh, my goodness. What a joy.
Yeah.
What an absolute pleasure. And so with that, we need to be hopeful and expectant that I'm going to heaven mm-hmm. and that I'm going to be with Jesus forever. This is an amazing thought, you know? And then on the other end of that, if it is just an escapist mindset, then I would encourage you as the you know, listener and viewer to bring the kingdom of heaven here to the earth, you know, to enforce and empower the kingdom principles. You know, Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? And when he talked about salvation, he talked about entering the kingdom. And so we have that kingdom on the inside of us because we have the king. Mm-hmm. And anywhere we go is his domain. And so I would encourage you to rise up in the authority that God has given you in the midst of circumstances, to allow his spirit to bring joy and peace in the midst of the circumstances. And while you're hopeful for heaven, you're not trying just to escape the earth. And if there's depression, if there's anxiety, if there's things like that, I would encourage you to find a pastor. If you're here at the Rock, call us, you know, we'll set up a time to sit with you. If you're not local to the area, I would encourage you, make sure you have a local church, because there's a shepherd there that can guide you to the still waters and restore your soul, help you restore your soul, right? And just make sure that you have what you need in order to not just try and escape, but to thrive and to succeed in life, bringing the kingdom here on the earth so that, you know, it's not a drag and a drudge. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. It sometimes life can be so hard. But my goodness, that you can rule and reign in life with Jesus Christ, the King, now bringing heaven to earth and bringing about the goodness of God in every situation, in every area of your life. So, yeah, that's kind of my final thoughts there.
Love it, Pastor Dan. Thank you. Hey, guys, like, comment, subscribe. Hey, we'd love to get back with you to some of those questions. And let us know maybe some topics or questions you have. We can make it a whole podcast out of it. Love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon.